the longest, okay? And we've gotten all the way down to the love of Christ, and we kind of like camped out there. This will be week number 7. However, I don't know if this is the beginning of a different series, but still pertaining to love. Okay? Media, did I throw you for a loop? Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Okay. Hey, give media a hand. Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so, but today, what I want to share with you, what we're going to talk about is understanding the love of Christ. Understanding the love of Christ. And he kind of pulled me to the side and opened up something to me that you've taken them, you know, to a point where they still have to understand this stuff to make it doable in their lives. So I'm almost sure that next week we're going to pick this up and probably have a part, you know, 2, 3 or whatever. But just for today, that's what we're going to talk about, understanding the love of God. So I got, for the most part, more notes to give you than just, you know, scripture, whatever. But it's very simple stuff that we're just going to, you know, bring together. So for now, for starters, let's do Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 in the Amplified Bible. Ephesians 1, 4 in the Amplified Bible. Okay? Notice this says, we've read it before, we'll start here again. Even as in his love, okay, he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own, in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love, okay? Now, that's a lot in there, but just let me give you this footnote real quick. The state of being in which he chose us as his own was in his love, okay, which is the highest level or form of love. However, we are to be consecrated and set apart for him in that same state or level of love in which he chose us from. Now, so what am I saying? The same state or level of love that he called us out for himself, eventually we're going to have to become consecrated and set apart for him in his sight in that same level of love. Eventually, we're going to have to come before him or be before him or dwell before him or even exist before him, but it's in that same level or state of love. Okay? Now, but notice what it says. But when he chose us in Christ. Talking about your void of human effort, which means that it's now Christ's responsibility to get us to that same level of love that the Father chose us from. If we're going to dwell before him in that state or in that level of love, notice he chose us for himself as his own in Christ. So whose responsibility is it if God chose you and placed you in Christ? Then it's Christ's responsibility to get you to this point where you could be before God the Father in that same level or state of love. Okay? Now, but here's the thing. If we were to be honest with ourselves, what's being thrown around today, even in the church, it's nowhere close to what we read about in the Word of God concerning love. When you think about it, he positioned himself in love called us, handpicked us from within that love, assigned us to Christ, gave Christ the responsibility to get us to that level or state of love. But when you look at today's church, we're nowhere close. Let's be real. Let's look at something very familiar. Go to John 3:16 in the Amplified Bible. John 3:16. Let's look at it in the Amplified Bible. Okay? It says, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world," okay, "that he even gave up his only begotten unique son, so that whoever believes and trusts and clings and relies to him will not perish, will not come to destruction or be lost, but will have everlasting or eternal life." Now, we know that it's actually spray painted on trucks, 18-wheelers, it's on every billboard, it's in stadiums, we all know it. But here's the thing. What if the enemy has used this to throw us for a loop? Okay? Just what if? I'm just saying, just what if? We were bamboozled into thinking we knew what this scripture meant. I'm just saying, just what if? Look at John 15, verse 13. We're going to do it in King James and in the Amplified Bible. John 15, just verse 13 in King James and then the Amplified. Notice it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Okay? "Greater love hath no man than this." Okay? Look at this in the Amplified Bible. "No one has greater love, no one has shown stronger affection than to lay down, give up his own life for his friends." Now, here's the problem I got with this, James Brooks. You know this scripture, you done heard it. You probably didn't know it was John 15, 13, but you've heard of this scripture and you've quoted it, correct? Okay, correct? Okay, so can somebody quote the King James, the first part of the King James? We just read it. Do not go back to it. Somebody quote it. No. John 15, 13. I'm sorry, sir? "Greater love hath no man." Amplifier says, "No one has greater." Think about what you just read. "Greater love hath no one." Nobody. No man. Now, here's the question, Sandra. No man, no human has ever possessed or comprehended the love of God prior to Jesus. Okay, what'd you just say, Ms. Gator? Amen. If it's amen, then what makes you think you know what John 3:16? God so loved. If no man has ever possessed love, then how are you going to comprehend John 3:16? Hoo-hoo. So here's a few questions for you. Did we somehow make the mistake of capping off the love of God with a feeling or a temporary experience from something? Question number two, have we created doctrines from assumptions for others to follow of what we think through a human viewpoint, what the agape love is? Question number three, does it even bother us as Christians that our version of love is identical to that of the world? Because you ask an unsaved heathen, what does John 3:16 say? He'll tell you. What does it mean? He'll tell you. You ask a Christian, they'll tell you. What does it mean? They'll tell you the exact same thing that heathen just said. Amen. So what we're calling love is identical to theirs. You know, and don't get me wrong. What was that you said this morning? To be salt and light. Okay. What is it like to be saved? Okay. So in other words, you're to possess something that others don't have, but when we put you in a room, separate room, and then tell you to go home, then we meet with the other guy and we exchange notes of what y'all said. It comes out to the exact same thing the world said. Greater love has nobody, no man. But we could tell you what John 3:16 means. Nobody ever possessed it. Nobody ever had knowledge of it prior to Jesus. Amen. Think about this. God so loved. But when you really think about it, Miss Linda, does that not make sense now? When you really think about it, God so loved. Man, it's incomprehensible now. And we should have known that from the beginning. Go to 1 John 4:11. Is this kind of sort of making sense? 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we ought to also love other people. If God so loved us, okay, we are also to love other people. And there's the problem, QT. There lies your problem. Because we're actually depositing our tainted version of this stuff in other people. Think about it. See, even though we've already discussed the fact that it's impossible for mankind to love outside of Christ. But listen to this. We as Christians must still learn how to truly live in the love of Christ and stop faking it when it's convenient for you. That's right. Because, I mean, you will express your love, your unity, you will express all of that as best you can. But let that person keep calling you. Let that person keep coming back to you. How is it possible for you to be able to turn off love? How is it possible for you to be in a relationship and you like totally head over heels in love, as you say, one day, and then the next day you hate the person's guts? So you're telling me there is, in fact, a switch to love. But see, but that's what I'm saying. You know, what's the Christian song? I'm only human after all, don't put the blame on me. You know? But the truth of the matter is, we came out of the gate wrong. Thinking that we understood John 3:16. Okay? And we ran with it. Now, let's go back to John 15. Let me show you something in this, in the Amplified Bible. John 15, verse 13. So notice this says, no one has greater love, but here's the key, V, neither has anybody ever shown it. That's right. Think about it. Not only has any man ever possessed it, nobody, obviously if you never possessed it, neither have you even shown it. You're incapable of even showing it. Is this making sense to you guys? Okay? Now listen to this. Think about this now. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, why? Listen, so Jesus could display the love of God. Now, why do I say display? Because he was the only one with it. And I love how Jesus used to put them on the spot. And we're going to see, I don't know if today or whenever, we're going to see what Jesus said. Hey, tell you what, let's do this. Love one another as I loved you. And you can see him smirking and snickering to himself. You know, like Dr. Phil, tell me how that worked out for you. Love one another as I have loved you. But he was the only one with it. I'm just saying. Okay? Not only did he display it to draw you into it, but he also displayed it to draw you to himself. Jeremiah 31:3, which is the scripture we built the church on. With loving kindness have I drawn you. And if you get time, read it in the Amplified Bible. With loving kindness have I drawn you and have continued my kindness towards you. All right? Now listen to this. Once we were drawn to Jesus by his love, did we at that time immediately learn to dismiss the progression of the multifaceted levels of his love? In other words, once we got saved, once we were drawn to that love, did we immediately learn to miss the many-sided levels of God's love? And I'm going to tell you, a strategy in which was overlooked. You get saved. What is the first thing we tell you? You need to forgive and love people, which is nothing more than putting a yoke of bondage on your neck because you're incapable of doing it. Amen. And so now, the only way you can fashion your style of love is to look towards in the direction of your leadership. You see them falter, and what do? Take a sigh of relief. And so that's when we lean on, well, I'm only human. God knows my heart. Bubba, that's a dangerous thing. You have no idea what you're saying. Yes, you're right. God does know your heart. And so what we've done was we've looked towards other people. We looked at them and we fashioned our lives based on their love. And what's worse? Listen to this. What's worse is you technically tried. The only thing you did was technically try to mimic an eternal entity that was being manifested practically through Jesus, and you labeled it agape. In other words, you try to mimic what you read in the Bible concerning Jesus and love. But what you didn't know was this eternal entity was manifesting himself through Jesus, okay, in a very practical way. And you had the audacity to try to mimic that love. Okay, I know I'm losing you, but you just got to trust me and hang in there. In other words, you read, Jesus came up to the multitudes and he had compassion on them. For they was a sheep without a shepherd. Okay, and he said unto the multitudes, sit down and I'm going to feed y'all. Okay, you read this act of love and you try to mimic that. But what you don't know is there was an eternal entity called Holy Spirit working through Jesus. Okay, why you say it was Holy Spirit? What nut going to say, my time is here, take this cup away from me, and then a second after that, but no, that's the right, do it. What are you, bipolar? You either want him to take it or handle your business. What was he saying? I'm a man. But then Holy Spirit say, no, go through this. Despite your frailties, go through it. And so we looked at the practical act and tried to sneak our signature in on it by not having the leading of that eternal entity called Christ in you, leading you. You know, and don't get me wrong, we've gotten away with it for so long, we call it love. You know, I mean, come on. Let's be real. You and somebody on his job have a conversation about him, and she tell you, the wife, oh, he's so helpful, he's so this, and he's this, and this, and this. And you saying to yourself, you done lost your mind. This ain't my husband you talking about. Why is it that they can talk about two different people? You're so helpful at work around other women, but yet you're a bum at home around your wife. Why is that? Because you've always learned that this is how love is. Love can be turned on and off. So, come on, let's be real. Obviously, we never had a lockdown on love. And because of our ignorance, I believe we capped it off by a feeling or with a feeling or something that we experienced. Which brings me to this point, and I don't care if you get mad, which brings me to this point. Is there or can there be, if that's the case, based on everything I said, if that's the case, can there and is there levels of God's love that humanity has never even tapped into? Now, I'm not saying, please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, okay, you got your eros, your storge, your agape. I ain't talking about all that mess. Let's straight up talk love of God. What if what you can perceive or what you can comprehend as the agape love of God, just what if that was the beginning of God's love? And you were always taught that's the highest, or that's the max of it. Just what if, and I'm going to show you next week, just what if that's only the beginning? See, it ain't my fault that you're trying to do this as a human. That ain't my fault. I've learned a long time ago to do it within the superhuman strength that abides in me. That's why I said, with this guy, then I can do all things. Because eventually you're going to learn to step out of the way. Amen. And when you do, you're going to see just like a rainbow, one rainbow, many levels, many different colors. You're going to see it. I'm just saying. Okay? So, look at Romans 5:5. In the NIV. We're getting ready to wrap it up for those of you just getting bored. Okay. Romans 5:5 in the NIV. Now, check this out. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out, okay? God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, the other NIV says through, which is a better one than this, okay? But through Holy Spirit, but He's poured out His love. Now, how many of the Bible can't lie? It just said God poured out of His love into our hearts. So, this is where we're going. Why is it that the same love that was on Jesus that has been obviously poured out in us, why is it so different between us Jesus and the state in which he called us for his own. Same love. Leave it to a Christian. Leave it to a Christian. Go to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to come back to that. But go to 2 Thessalonians 3, 5 in the Amplified. We looked at this already last week or whenever. Is this at least giving you guys something to think about? No. Ephesians 3, 5. Okay. Okay, I'm just checking y'all out, see if y'all win. Okay, yeah. You're right. My fault, your mistake. Okay. My Lord, how long have we been in Ephesians 3? Did I just say Ephesians 3? I mean, yeah, it's because we camped out there for so long. So, y'all forgive me. 2 Thessalonians, okay, 3:5. Notice what it says. May the Lord direct your hearts. May the Lord direct your hearts into realizing and showing the love of God and into the steadfastness and patience of Christ. Now, a few things I want you to see in here. Number one, because of the practical love that Jesus displayed and you received, Holy Spirit can now direct your heart further into the love of Christ. Okay? The second thing is, he leads you to the point of not only realizing the love of God, but actually showing you how the love of God works. And number three, he'll eventually reveal that state of being where God chose you for himself before the foundation of the world was. Okay? Because remember, he chose us in Christ, but he did it out of his love. So now that you're born again, Holy Spirit, we just read Romans 5:5, Holy Spirit pours that love in your heart. But according to this, this is where the church has messed up. According to this, we have to let him direct our what? Hearts, not your heads. This is why Big Poppy told you over and over and over to get your hearts right. You refuse to, now you're incapable of tapping into this. You'll always walk in deception thinking you're walking in the love of God. Okay? Had you gotten your hearts right, and first of all, let me just define it for you. What is getting your heart right? Yielding it to the Holy Spirit. Admitting and then yielding. That's it. Okay? Now, one more thing I want to bring out here, and then we're going to go to Ephesians 3 for real. Okay? May the Lord direct your hearts into realizing and showing you. When you think about that, why would he do that if you were able to do it on your own? Amen. If you were capable of understanding it and seeing it for yourself, then you wouldn't need him. Amen. It's him that will help you realize or get a revelation of it. And it's him that will show you how it all works. Amen. Because let me just get ahead of myself. Let me just say this. I feel kind of weird saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Love is not an emotion. Love is not what you think it is. Okay? Love is not what you think it is. I told you this a while ago. True love is actually the person of God's emotions. Okay? We're going to see, we're going to look into that a little deeper next week, But for now, I want you to just catch this, know this. When you understand love, you just admit it to your failure. You just tapped out. In other words, when you tell people how much you understand love, you're just showing how ignorant you are. That's right. For an example, I understand flying, how flying works, airplanes, okay, space shuttles and all that. I understand all of that. I understand that. Well, what's your experience? Where'd you go to school and all that? No, I caught a Delta from Atlanta to, so you know it all. Just because you went to Delta, and come on, let's be real. And that's what we do. That's what we do. We have no idea what the inner workings of this stuff really is. We really don't. Because let me ask you this. This is a what if thing. The Bible said in 1 John 2, that Jesus is our righteous one. Okay? What even made this cat righteous? And if he was considered righteous, what kept him as the righteous one? And if he was kept the righteous one, then what enabled him to allow righteousness to become transferable into our lives? There had to be a mobile platform called love to transfer this stuff. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. He gave it to Jesus. Then he poured it in our hearts. Everything this stuff touches becomes the righteousness of the one who developed it, God. Okay, that's a little bit too much, okay? There's too much information, trust me. I tell you what, no, it's tax time coming, so I'll keep going. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Yeah. Amanda, you're going to have to hire somebody else to count money now. Because if they push me any harder, we're going to charge them a whole army. Y'all going to sell the farm. Now listen to this. Ephesians 3:19 in the Amplified Bible. Now listen to this. We said this love is poured out. We talked about the way in which that happens. Okay, you respond to something that was displayed to you. But here's the crazy thing about it, Kier. It is so powerful, though he can only display it. Now please hear me. It was still able to penetrate a unborn again spirit to want it. Think about it. It is so powerful until it penetrated your unborn again spirit to want it. And once you received it, he poured it. And now he's leading you by it. This is why I said you got to let your heart be right, okay? Got to get your heart right. Because if not, it's just going to sit on the back burner and you're going to do what you want with it, what you think, but it's just dormant. But now, look at what he's doing now. We've read this before. Let's look at it again. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ. Now, this is so cool because Jesus was the only one with it. Now that you have it, notice what he says, that you can come to know it practically through experience for yourself now.
Amen.
And if this is the case, then I cannot take claim to it. I cannot act as though I know it, understand it, or perceive it. If I'm to experience it, remember in other translations, it says, to know the love of Christ which passeth all knowledge. How you gonna know something if you don't have knowledge of it? Okay? So this is where the rubber meets the road. I'm just gonna be honest, straight up honest with y'all. If you struggled living a life void of human effort, it's like at the beginning of the training camp, you got 90 to 100 guys, okay, and we got to get to 53 by opening of the season. So if you have problems with the void of, if you've been struggling with void of human effort, guess what? You just helped your way out the door. Now the roster down to 70. Because you always thought you can help God. God said, get out of here. You still say, but guess what? You don't even make special teams. You don't even make practice squad. That's right. That's right. Because how are you going to experience it for yourself if you know it all? How are you going to experience it? You know, man, Chad, I had the most awesome experience, man. Where'd you go? I went on a tour, and this guy was showing me everything. Didn't do nothing but experienced everything. Had my hand in absolutely nothing but experienced everything because of the knowledge of somebody else. Do y'all see this? And so this is the crazy part about it. We must experience this love for ourselves, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. And that's where we are. Okay? Remember, God called us. Y'all just pray for me, okay? And I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm going to say it. God called us from within a totally different zip code, area code of love. Totally different than what you can even think about. Okay, you can't even comprehend that. That's where he called us from. But he put the responsibility on Christ. Now, Christ's answer to this task was, bring it on. Bring it on. I got you. I can do this. Because notice the outcome of it. Once we experience this stuff, okay, that surpasses knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of who? God. He said, man, I can take you to that place in which you originated from, but you got to let me do it my way. You got to learn little stuff like you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You got to learn stuff that he who knew no sin became sin. So you're good now. You have to understand little stuff that you're the apple of his eye by way of covenant. You have to understand that eventually you are no more. The most you can do for God is just lay there. That's it. Think about it. Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha. I don't want your works. You just sit there and keep on hearing. That's all I want you to do. Just keep on hearing how I've made your life void of human effort. And I'll get you to that place. So much to the point where you'll be filled and flooded with God himself. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now I'll tell you what. Yeah, you guys get something out of this today? Yeah. Amen. We'll stop there.